Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
Hey, it's a bit different today. We're going to do a little bit on where the building's up to, and because it's actually pretty interesting, which we'll also be doing a bit more broadly at the My Church meeting, which will cover some building stuff, but also then some other stuff in terms of process of engagement with our vision and direction that God's been talking to me about the last couple of months. And so I do encourage you, be at the next My Church meeting as we'll be engaging with that. But I did want to give you an update. I can't tell you, because we've just finished our building fund, so I can't tell you what this offering is. So I thought I'd give you some updates, because what's been going on with our building fund the last couple of years is actually quite amazing. For those who don't know, we were gifted a building about, 3 or 4 years ago? Somebody help me. 3 or 4 years ago, something like that. And just an amazing process. Basically, 6 months after I felt God say, it's time to do a building, and we had, I think, 30 or 40,000 in a building fund somewhere. And I said, okay, God, well, let's do a building. And about 6 months later, we were gifted a building, which was just phenomenal, which we sold for, I think, 380, 390, something like that. And God said, okay, we're going to do a building, so I'll give you quite a bit of substantial amount of that building fund offering. And it just was amazing to see how God was acting in all of that. Now, I do want to tell you that since then, we've added about 200,000 to that building fund. That's in the last 3 or 4 years that, we have added that into the... We still haven't caught God yet in terms of the giving that we've done. But what it's meant is that we are currently sitting around $620,000 in our building fund, which is actually positioning us to do what God has been telling us to do. And so that's exciting. And I do want to tell you that this year, if I get the figure right, this year our building fund, because we put it all aside into a separate bank account, invested, all that sort of stuff. Our building fund has actually grown by $53,700 this year. So from the beginning of January, you don't seem that excited, but anyway, beginning of January through, just phenomenal. I mean, God is just doing stuff. Can we leave our Australian prejudices about money and church at the door and get excited by what God does in His church, in His way, for His glory? I mean, we got a lot of baggage when we come in the Australian church in relation to money. It's good to leave that baggage outside. Please don't pick it up when you leave. Just leave it there. God will deal with it and take it right away. And just get free about money and blessing and the kingdom of God. Just free your heart. I mean, that's phenomenal. God is doing an amazing thing among us, and we need to celebrate that and be excited about that. Anyway, I'm excited. I think it's fantastic. I'm actually blown away by the fact that God started this process, and with fear and trepidation, we said, well, okay, we're prepared to launch out. And then over the last 4 or 5 years, He's just been doing this amazing thing that hasn't been in, one big one-off thing, but otherwise it's been in this incremental, and that's the way life is. Most of things in life are not just one-off, big, hear it, bang, there it is. No, most of life is lived incrementally, day to day, week to week, month to month. You just keep doing the right things and your life gets in order. That's how it works. And so that's what we've been doing in this area of our church life, is saying we want to follow the leading of the Spirit and just be obedient to what He says for us to do week in, month out, year in, year out. We'll just keep going and let God lead us. Now, in light of that, about 3 months ago, there's always a couple of things going on with this. There's a natural frustration that says, come on, let's get on with this. Especially because in the beginning, I had a sense of the timing that God was going to do. Now, I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord, because that gets you into some difficulty. But I just had this sense of timing, and I felt that we'd really come to the end of that period. And I thought, what's going on here? And you remember the Pembas thing that we went through? And we thought, oh, maybe that's the go. We thought, yeah, we're in, this is it. And then God said, no, pull that, just by the by. I think the count is up to 20 petrol tanks out of that site, for those who weren't aware of it. The guy that, you know, gazumped us and went in there without engineer's reports and just bought it, you know, he's now paying the price. And I think God has done something. But what's happened in all of that is that God has been doing what they call thought leadership. God has been doing that with us. And he's been actually leading our thinking, and particularly mine and our leaders, and going, hey, I want you to think really carefully about what a building is about, what it does and what it doesn't do. And I want you to think about the process of how I build my church, not just, you know, an organizational church, but how do I build my church? And the building, whatever you do building-wise, must serve that process and must reflect that process. And in the last 2 or 3 months particularly, God has been taking me on a real mind trip, I guess, a journey of what that looks like. As I've grown up and been trained in a whole lot of theories around church life that God has been actually banging away at for the last 2 or 3 years and saying, hey, you need to be thinking properly about this so that you get into the right process of engagement. Now, that was particularly happening about a week ago, and the staff and office volunteers here were laughing at me because I was literally in this building setting up. I had all our chairs going the other way, and I had fake stages, and I had all kinds of things. And I was thinking about what really is the building. And this week I had all these panels and things up around the building, and I just about pulled the building apart. I mean, but what was going on? And they thought I was crazy, but what was really going on was I was just trying to interact with God over what are you saying to us? What's going on in this whole process? What are you trying to? And so I'm putting chairs out and I'm praying and I'm putting stages out. And I'm just trying to open my heart to the Holy Spirit. Has anybody worked like that, or is it just me? There's a few people, okay, everyone else is going, yeah, it's just you. No, there's a few of us who are crazy, and I was doing, and you know the funny thing was, I was in the middle of doing that, and the owner of this building came in and gave us a letter and said he wanted us either to sign a 3-year lease or he was thinking about selling the property. And I'm going, God, what are you doing? What is going on here? Like, because you guys know that a few months ago we had to move out for a month because of development consent issues and stuff like that. And I'm going, well, God, you're doing something here, but I'm not quite sure what it all is. And so we've had interesting interactions with the owner of this building, and who knows where that all leads. But what I'm saying to you is this: God's doing something. God is doing something, and we had a board meeting last Saturday, and we talked it all through, and we looked at designs and plans, and we're just opening our hearts to God. And this is the takeaway, I guess. I don't guess, I know. This is the takeaway. We want to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. This whole building thing is his deal and his process. It's not just the idea of my idea or a board or a leadership team. It didn't start that way. Yes, in the back of our minds, we all think it's better to own a building than to keep leasing, renting stuff everywhere. In principle, it's a better thing. Generationally, it makes a lot of sense to help the next generations coming to actually get established. So all of that makes sense. But you can do church in homes. You don't, you know, the early church seemed to do pretty well, and they met in the temple and they met in the homes and they multiplied, and God seemed to be able to build his church without too much bother. So as much as it makes sense, it's not necessary. So when 5 years ago God says to me, now's the time to get going, then I listened to that. 20 years ago, God said to me, after we had 3 years of trying to build the church and nothing working, and he was just smacking me around the head basically and saying, I've got to sort your heart out. Then God spoke to me and said, next year is the year of the team. And, you know, I've told you the story before, and I said to God, well, what we've been doing the last 3 years, I've been ready for the year of the team. And then within 12 months, God brought in the team that built this church. And so when God says something like that, and I sense it, I go, well, I'm up. I'm hearing. I'm listening. My ears are up. My heart's open. Let's go. And what I'm saying to you is we want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so I would encourage you at this point in time, please pray into this. It's a strong decision for our church at this point in time. Some people say, oh, buildings are meaningless. Well, those people haven't got a clue what they're talking about, because churches can get themselves into big trouble over finances and buildings. So we want to get this right, and we want to do what God tells us to do and nothing else. And so I'm just saying to you that in the last couple of months, God is working on this. There's something going on. There's something stirring. Phenomenal last week, just to be seeing what God's stirring up and doing. And we got no idea where it lands, but we know that I feel like the plane is on the landing down, you know, like this. What do you call that? The descent. I don't know if anybody, like you, some of, anyway, I feel like the plane is descending. We're not quite sure where the landing strip is yet, but the plane's coming down. And that thing's going to land somewhere. And the good news is God knows where it's going to land, and he's got the plane on the right trajectory. That's why we follow the Holy Spirit, not our own thinking. Amen? So keep your heart wide open to that. I'll talk more about that at our My Church meeting and what's behind that in terms of more important thinking about the kingdom of God. So we'll get to that as we go. But that's exciting, isn't it? Lots of things going on. I just wonder if a couple of our leaders would jump up. Adrian, why don't you jump up here? Come on, Jill, why don't you jump up here? And they're going to pray for our building process.
God, we just thank you so much that you are leading us by your Spirit in this, Lord, that you started this and you're going to end it, Lord. And we're just an obedient church willing to do whatever you say. We commit this whole process to you, Lord. We trust you. We thank you that you have good plans, that you have something amazing for us, God. And we are getting closer and closer on that last lap around Jericho, Lord. We're just so close. We thank you for that. We speak it out, Lord. We just pray that your will be done. Help our hearts and our minds, the board, the leadership, just to be on the same path that you are on, God, so that we can make the right decision and just be where you want us to be. We trust you. We just thank you that you are at work, Lord, that this is nothing weird. This is just you working, God, and we trust you, and we thank you so much, Lord. Have your way in Jesus' name.
Yeah, Father, we just thank you that you have a good plan and a purpose for us and for this community. And we just thank you, Father, that it's about what you're doing in your kingdom, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, that you have a good plan and a good purpose for every single person here in part of this. We ask, Father, your guidance and direction for open hearts, Lord, to hear from you about what you're doing with this. And Father, as Adrian prayed, Lord, we know that you have a place and a right place, and that we just follow you. And Father, we want to be obedient to your call. We want to be obedient to your word. We want to be obedient to your direction. But Father, we just seek you and the guidance of your Holy Spirit in this, Lord God, to know that, Father, that you have the right place and the right building, and Father, that you have brought the right people together to build your church and to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Oh, it's exciting, isn't it? It's good fun, and God's doing a good thing among us. It's great. Praise God. Well, we're starting a new series today, and the series is called Kind, and it's not the humankind, mankind, alien kind. It's not that kind of kind. It's about kindness. And when I said this to our leadership team, I got a few strange looks, I've got to say. I said, we're going to do a series on kind. Now, normally I tell them what I think the series ought to be, and they all get very excited. They're just jumping out of their skin. They jump up and down, have a little dance party, you know, woohoo, all that sort of stuff. Like, you know, I've got to calm them down for half an hour, you know, after I've shared the title. They think that's so awesome. God's all over that. I mean, we get all of that. In fact, I get none of that. But, you know, at least they're positive sometimes. And but this one sort of went, you know, it just went a bit flat. And they said, yeah, all right, yeah, let's do a series on kind. Yeah, okay, let's do it. And can I just say to you, I this has stirred in my spirit the last probably 6 months, and actually longer than that, and I'll tell you why. I actually believe that what we're doing over the next few weeks, every series we do, I believe, is a prophetic thing from the Holy Spirit, that we're saying, God, what do you want us to learn about? What do you want us to grow in? What do you want us to do? So I'm not going to say one's better than another. I believe every one is, because our teaching and preaching ought to be prophetic, shouldn't it? It should be hearing from God and sharing what God's saying to the church. That's how it should go. And so, and this one is no different. It's in fact very strong. And I actually believe that kindness or the lack of kindness, more particularly, but both, kindness and its lack, impacts every area of our lives. Every area. Whether it be your home, whether it be your workplace, whether it be the community where you serve, the relations, your friends. It doesn't matter what area. Because if you're dealing with people, then kindness is critical. I was listening to that. We almost had it. I was thinking about having it as our theme song for the month. You know the one I'm talking about, Only Kindness Matters? You know the song? I actually looked it up. And it's a lovely song, and it's all about how kindness matters and how we're the hands and the feet of God. It's actually really good. Look it up and have a listen to it. When we do that, when we're going to do something like that, or if we think about doing it, I usually check up on the person, because I think it's not just about the lyrics and the song. I'm interested in what's going on in that person's life. And I'm not going to judge that person, because that would be unkind. But what I do want to say is I did look it up, and I noticed that after that song, that person became quite popular and had a marriage breakup, got estranged from their agent and from their mother. And there was this series of relationship destruction that followed anyway. So a lot that happens to a lot of people when they get into sort of successful deals. But I just thought there was some irony to that, that it was like only kindness matters, and then it probably does matter, because then there was all this destruction that followed. And that's an example, that's really the truth of what this is about. And a lot of the motivation of this, I have to say, comes out of the encouragement, the coaching that I've been doing with married couples, particularly married couples who are in trouble. And one of the consistent themes, right now I'm thinking of about five relationships over the years that have all ended up in disaster, and the characteristic of each one has been an unkind husband. Just let that sort of settle on you. That's been the characteristic. Now there are other things, and I can think of other couples who've got into trouble, and it wasn't about kindness of the husband. There were other issues. But I am saying that a consistent, repeated theme in relationship breakdown is unkindness, and particularly unkindness of men. And all the women should get excited about that and go, yay, Ron, preach it, brother. So, but nobody did that, so you've lost your opportunity right there. And all the guys are going, oh, we're going to get a beating again. But that's okay, because we're big and tough. We can take it. But I'm just trying to share with you the truth. You know, the scripture says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. There is nothing more frustrating than doing marriage coaching with a couple where the guy just doesn't get it. And I think I'm going to trade in all my counseling tools. I got psychometric analysis, and I got the Bible, and I got all this listening ability and training in reflective listening and all this stuff. I'm going to trade all of that in, and I'm going to go for what? I'm going to go for a baseball bat. That's what I'm going to go for. And every time that guy doesn't get it, I'm just going to hit him on the head. And eventually, when I talk to them about you've got to listen to your wife, you know, they go through example after example, and these guys are so dumb, it's unbelievable. And their wife is saying the same thing every coaching session, and I'm sitting there going, I've heard this woman tell this story 6 times, and I say to the guy, what is she saying?
I don't know. I don't know how to help her. She's just like that. It must be her hormones.
I mean, come on! That's, you think I'm joking? That's true! That actually happens! Men say it! I mean, you can think it, but how dumb are you to say it? I mean, honestly. And I just think, man, and so I just need a baseball bat. I don't need a heavy one or a big one. Maybe a truncheon would do. They could rubber coat it. I don't care. But if I could just tap that guy on the head every time he says that dumb thing. I've had people in sessions, and they've said that like 4 or 5 times, week after week. And I've now got to a point where I literally have got to a point where I'll say to a couple, unless you deal with this, we can go no further. You cannot move further unless we deal with this issue. And I've actually said to guys, I've taken them aside privately, and I've said, unless you deal with this issue of harshness and unkindness, we can go no further. Now, lest you think I'm completely sexist, I do believe that women can be just as unkind, and they will probably do so in different ways. So you can make that application. All I'm saying is, in all my years of marriage prep and marriage coaching and counseling, I have seen this consistent theme of unkindness breaking down relationships. Now, I could take that same, you could apply it. We're coming into the Christmas period, the crazy season, where families apply unkindness to each other. Where are we going to have that? We had it yesterday. We have most Saturdays, we have a family feast. I was going to say a family meal, but in our place, it's usually a feast of one sort or another, because my wife's actually a very good cook, and all the others are good as well, and they work it all out. My daughter, I was going to say daughter-in-law, but it's actually my daughter. My daughter is involved with a blog on food and all this sort of stuff. So we got all kinds of stuff going on in these families. And now there's babies everywhere, so we've got to figure out where we're going to go, how we're going to do this. We had that happen yesterday, all day. Where are we going to go? Now, if your family is unkind, that can actually become a breaking point of relationship. But if your family is kind to each other, caring about each other, then you actually have an opportunity, get the word, you have an opportunity to demonstrate your love for that person. By what? By being kind. Kind is actually a really important word for us. And this particular series, if we are wanting to touch and reach a generation for Jesus, we had better realize that kindness is at the heart of it. Yeah. Kindness is at the heart of it. You say, I don't believe you're on. That's just an add-on thing. It's only one of, how many fruit of the Spirit are there? Is it 7 or 9? Quick. 9. It's only one of 9, so surely kindness is only like 1/9 important. I'll get the rest right, and we'll be okay. No, I want to take you through the scriptures. This is just intro this morning. I want to take you through the scriptures this morning on the importance of kindness. The importance of kindness in your life and to the people around you. You may not think this is particularly important, but I want to tell you today that kindness is part of the original instruction of the prophetic voices of the Old Testament. It is actually what led to our salvation, and kindness led to our salvation, and it became the key instruction for those who would live out service for God. So if you think kindness is just a minor little issue, then you've got another thing coming this morning. And here it comes. It's coming at you, all right? So get the defenses up. Get yourself steeled. Those idiot guys, silly guys among us. I've got to stop saying that word. People tell me don't say that word anymore. So those silly guys among us who think they can just, oh, I'm just the way I am. I'm just blah, blah, blah. Those guys among us, you know, you better get your helmet on to stop the thought coming, or you better get ready to get a better life. Because if you would just learn to be kind to the people around you, guess what? You'd have a better life. The ladies thought that was true. The guys went, well, I don't know. I don't know. Okay, number one, the importance of kindness in your life, how it impacts your life. Number one, kindness fulfills the call of the prophets. That's a big statement, surely. Kindness fulfills the call of the prophets. Old Testament, old school, Israel destroyed, Judah a mess, the people of God in absolute disaster, and the prophets spoke to them about what God wanted them to do, and here is what the prophet, two prophets I'm going to give you, Micah and Zechariah, and these two, somebody should have their child named Zechariah, I think, and that would be very good. I don't know how many babies there are at the moment on the way. Am I giving something away if I say, no, yeah, right, okay. We're running, there's this competition happening in church life at the moment. You may not know about it, but if you go onto our website, there's this little part that says, who knows first? It's a little competition. So if you know that somebody's pregnant and nobody else does, just go and register your name. Ron. I know and nobody else does. There you go. Heather. No. It's all right. Micah 6. Let's go. Micah, fulfilling the call of the prophets. You ready? Micah 6, verse 6. It's good to be in church, isn't it? Yes. Yeah, it is. With what shall I come before the Lord? and bow myself before God on high? There's the question. The people of Israel in a disaster. The whole thing a mess. The kings are atrocious. I mean, I just read through the book of Kings again. It's phenomenal. Have you read the, like, you've got to put your seatbelt on when you read the book of Kings. Like, it's like roller coasters and turn and here and up and down. I mean, it's a disaster. As in human effort, they try to do what God's called them to do, and they just make a mess of it the whole way through. So that's what we're talking about. And Micah asked the question. It's really proposed by God. And it says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? How can I approach God? What can I bring? How we're such a mess. How can I come before God? And he says, shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? That seems to be okay, because that's what they were told to do in the Old Testament, surely, was to sacrifice animals and stuff. And Stuart told us this morning that if we sacrifice an animal with a good heart, then God will accept that. So surely we should be outside right now with the little lambies and, you know, cutting through a few throats and having a barbecue afterwards. I mean, that'd be awesome. They said one of my mates is a pastor out west, and he posted a picture this week, and it was two suckling pigs that they'd cooked on a spit, and he had it on the table, and it best lunch of the year. I mean, you can tell where our pastors come from, can't you? They're just loving it. They were sacrificing the animal. Anyway, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? So don't worry about just a calf. Let's have thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil. And look at this. This is horrible. It says, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? You know why he says that, don't you? How many people know why he says that? He says that because that's exactly what they were doing. They'd taken on this worship of Molech, and part of it was that they would sacrifice their own children seeking the blessing of this demon spirit. That's what the people of God were doing. People say, oh, how come God, you know, wiped out all those people and brought his people in? The reason was is those people were, in fact, all of us are deserving of one thing from God, judgment. That's all we're deserving of. And the people at this time, they were sacrificing their own children. They were, and it was all around trying to get blessing in their lives from what they perceived as gods, which were mostly demon spirits. So, you know, let's sort of back off from a bit of our 21st century, niceties, and let's understand what's really happening in these stories. So Micah is saying, how will I come before God? Will I come with a goat? Will I come with 1,000 sheep? Will I come with rivers of oil to bring everything I've got and my offerings? And or will I go the pagan way and bring my own children and sacrifice them? Is that what I'm going to do? And many of you know the story of what he says. And this is what he says. He says, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. In some references, it'll say love mercy, which I really like the idea. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Beautiful. Kindness fulfills the call of the prophet. The word in the original language is kesed, which means a covenant loyalty to each other. It means that we will do nothing to hurt somebody. That we will actually, whether it be someone who's in need, whether it be somebody we know, whether it just be somebody of the community, that we have a covenant together and we will be loyal to that and kind to each other. That's what we're called to do. And so this prophet said, you can forget or... I don't know that we get how revolutionary this is. Because these guys lived in a time of sacrifice and religion and rules. And this guy is hearing from God. And he's able to rise above all of that. And he's able to say to them, hey, it's not about all those sacrifices. It's about if you do justly and you love kindness and you walk humbly with God, then you can approach God. Amazing. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Zechariah is another prophet. Actually, when they're in captivity and life had fallen apart. And Zechariah says, thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the traveler, or the refugee, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. Amazing. It's all about treating people with respect and care and kindness. That's what the prophet said to do. That's one of the reasons why I hate it when we get into some very negative, selfish stuff nationally. And we forget that we are so blessed and privileged, and we're actually called to be a blessing to the nations of the earth. And I think that should guide our thinking a lot more than our selfishness in relation to those issues. It fulfills the call of the prophets. Secondly, it delivers salvation. Did you know that kindness delivers salvation? I don't know if you knew that. Kindness delivers salvation. It delivers forgiveness of our sins and restoration to God. But let's understand one thing. It's not your kindness that does that. Whose kindness is it? It's God's kindness. I'm amazed. It's God's kindness that delivers our salvation. Have a look at Titus chapter 3 as Paul's describing this to one of his disciples. Titus chapter 3 verse 4. He says, but when the goodness and what? Loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, who is poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Wow, the loving kindness of God is what restores us into relationship with him. You have no ability to live a life that would please God. In the same way that the people of the Old Testament had no hope of living what the prophet said. If you walked out of here today and you said, I'm going to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly, and so I'll be right with God, then you would fail at that by the end of the street, I reckon. Those elderly people from the Anglican Church are cutting you off as you drive past. It's gone. Your salvation is gone straight away. You know, they drive out really... Have you ever... You not noticed that? Yeah. So you've lost your salvation by the end of the road, let alone getting home and dealing with your family. I mean, so you, by the end of the street, you've lost it. So these people have got no hope. They can't live it. And that's the whole point of the Bible. And it says, hey, you've lived all this time. You can't do it. You can't live perfect. You can't live right. You can't be righteous. You can't do it. And then Paul says, hey, it's the loving kindness of God that brings salvation to you. It's the fact that God is kind and merciful that brings your salvation. Ephesians chapter 2. Grab that quickly. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. It says, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that, and listen to this, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in what? Kindness towards us in Christ. Eternity is actually about God pouring out his kindness upon us in a way and in a sense that we cannot even imagine or appreciate. I heard someone preaching this morning. I do like to listen to some of this stuff, and I heard him talking about the holiness of God and how God's holiness is unapproachable. And it got me really thinking about that, because I come out of the steelworks, you know, all those ingots of nearly molten steel and stuff. And I think about that as an image of God's holiness. Because I know, and there's terrible reports and I won't go into it because it's pretty awful, but I know that if I were to touch that, it would destroy me. And it's not because that thing is angry or that thing is... It's because it's on fire. It's because it's nearly molten steel. And if I were to even touch it, it would destroy me. Probably just my hand, but there are horrible stories which I won't go into. But it would destroy me because of its pure nature. And that's how God is. If you were to try to approach God right now in your current state, and you were to even try to... You can't touch, but if you were to try to touch him, it would destroy you. Not because God hates you or any of that sort of stuff, although he has every right to judge us for our impurity, but simply because he's pure and so holy that we can't go in near him. And that's why the scripture says that it's his kindness that's poured out on us. And so in the same way that we can't touch his holiness without being destroyed, when he pours his kindness onto us, it's something beyond our experience. That's why we don't understand eternity very well, because it's so far beyond our experience and our understanding. But when the kindness of God is poured on us, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing that we can't even begin to understand. So salvation is based in the loving kindness of God. Last one, number three. You ready? Kindness characterizes true Christian service and relationships. It's kindness that should characterize the way that we live. It's kindness that characterizes the way that we live. Let's have a look just at a couple of scriptures. Ephesians 4, verse 31. You going all right?
Yeah,
feeling condemned and unhappy? No, that's all right then. Get convicted is good. Get shamed and all that's no good. Okay, Ephesians 4, 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. We'll get to that in a couple of weeks, you know, because you've got to get rid of the junk in order to actually get the good stuff out. So we'll get to that in a few weeks' time. Verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. The same way that God treated you, that's how you ought to treat those family members that aren't doing what you want. The same way that God treated you is the same way he wants you to treat that work colleague who's a pain in the butt. That's what the scripture's saying, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what? That becomes the basis of your testimony to them. If you don't have that kindness being demonstrated, there is no way for them to understand the kindness of God. If you're all judgmental and argumentative and all that sort of stuff, and then you want to preach to them about a loving, kind God, there's no way they're listening to that. But when you exercise kindness and mercy towards others, they always ask the question, where does that come from? And they might say it's just they're a naturally kind person. They might just excuse it that way. But it forms the basis and the foundation of your testimony for them. That's just by the by. Let me go to... I'll finish up with 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy 2, 22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And listen to this. And the Lord's servant, I hope he's speaking to all of us. If you're going to be the servant of the Lord, then this is what you're called to. He says, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but what? Kind to everyone. Able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. And it goes on to talk about it. Kindness, gentleness, patience. Do you notice that there is strength in there? We're not talking about compromise. We're not talking about just doing what everybody wants because you're the kind person. No, we're talking about someone who is incredibly strong but is kind and gentle. And that's what most guys who are in trouble in their relationships don't get, is that strength is not about aggression and bluster and getting my way. Strength is actually about an ability to sacrifice and to be gentle and to be kind. I was thinking about it during the worship this morning, because we've now got all the kids in through the worship, and you can make your vote on that at some point, but you actually can't. But anyway, we've got the kids in, and some people love it and some people don't, and we'll just work that out. But can I tell you, one of the greatest things that you, and I'm talking to the men today, one of the greatest things you can do for your kids, and we did it with all of our kids, one of the greatest things you can do for your kids is to hold those kids against your chest, let them hear the resonation of the worship of God. When men don't do that, children don't understand, especially boys, don't understand worship. You've got to do it. You've got to grab those boys and those girls and you've got to hold them close to you, and then you worship God for all you're worth. When I would hold my kids, and I'll do it with my grandkids now, when I would hold them, I'll hold them in one arm and I'll raise one arm to the Lord and I'll worship with all I've got, and I want them to feel the strength of my physical presence, because I want them to know that the worship of God is something that strong people do, not weak and wussy people. I hate it when it's all about weak and wussy. And I want it to be strong. And that's why I say to our guys regularly, and everybody can take it on board, bring strength to your worship. Don't bring your second best. Don't bring this, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Don't bring your timidity and all that. I mean, if you've got problems in that area, well, God bless you. We'll pray for you and help you, and I'm trying to be kind about it. But don't keep bringing that to God. He'll handle it. He handles all our fears and our stuff. But aim in your life that you'll come to a place where you bring your strength to God, where you go, I'm going to worship God with all my heart and with all my might and with all my strength. That's what the scripture says. And when you've got the opportunity of having your kids with you in that time, don't see it as a pain and a problem. See it as an opportunity. I'm now going to teach my children how to worship God. Wow. That's a phenomenal opportunity. And yes, it's going to be a pain in the neck from time to time. And sometimes it'll be a bit difficult. They'll cry and carry on. And on cue, right up the back there, just shoved a pin right in his butt right there and said, right, time to cry. We had it arranged earlier. And take the opportunity. I'm off track now, aren't I? But anyway, get that strength and let that strength be shown. And kindness is the same. Humility is not about weakness. Humility is about strength that's controlled. Kindness is about ability that's in control and in direction. It's about a strong person who knows how to be gentle and caring. The best thing is to have someone who is strong and gentle and caring. And those people will change the world. They'll change the world. But that bluster and that arrogance and that aggression and that stuff, that's not going to do any good at all. The scripture says that the anger of man will not produce the glory of God. So that's not going to do anything. But gentleness and kindness, it's what the prophet spoke about. It's what God did when he saved you. And it's the instruction we have to live out that life. Kindness is incredibly important. Amen? Little wave right here. Who here would like to be more kind in their life? Little wave right here. Yeah, I'm waving. Don't you worry about it. And the people who aren't waving, you got some problems. And pride's one of them, just to start with. But, you know, apart from that, you know, amen. These guys are going to come. We're going to have a song. Let's open our hearts to the Lord today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise, Father. If you don't know the Lord here today, we're going to pray a real simple prayer right now. And I invite you to open your heart and give your life to God. If you don't know him, if it's not, God's not real in your life, here's a good time. We're going to pray real simple. We're going to pray to God our Father. We're going to ask him to forgive us for our sin. We're going to thank him for Jesus who died for us and took our separation on himself. So if you're ready to do that, I want you to pray with me and we're all going to pray together. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you did that this morning and you're serious about walking with God, tell the person you're sitting with. And we've got a little booklet that'll help you to learn how to live the Christian life. Don't do it on your own. Always have someone walking with you. All right? Get someone good too. If there's nobody good in your life, come and see me. I'll find somebody. We'll have someone who's reasonable in the church somewhere. So we'll find someone for you. Kindness. So important. Can I encourage us, challenge us, ask us over the next month that we just open our hearts and say, God, help me. This is not natural. This is not the natural man. That's why the scripture says it is a fruit of the Spirit. It talks about how kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. So we're going to need God to help us in this. But I really believe it would all do us all good to ramp up the kindness level a little bit. And we're going to need God's help to do that. Amen? So why don't we stand together just before we sing and we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to lead us over the coming weeks in becoming more the person that he wants us to be. Father God, I thank you for your kindness towards me. I thank you that you looked upon me, and even though as a teenager I had no clue, but you reached out to me and you opened my heart to yourself and you revealed yourself to me. You filled me with your spirit and you enabled me to live a life of service for you. And I thank you, Lord, that is totally your loving kindness towards me. And I know that there are many, many people here today who feel exactly the same, and they know that you reached out to them in your loving kindness. And so, Father, over these coming weeks, we're praying that you would help us to be more like you, that you'd just help us to be more like you, that we could show the people in our lives more of your loving kindness that we've received. So, Father, we submit it to you over the coming weeks, and we pray that you help us, lead us, and guide us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from Sea Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.